John chapter 5, 1 John 5. 1 John's near the back. If you can find Revelation, you're right near it. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll begin with a word of prayer. And I was talking to somebody recently, and you know, it just, on the day of Pentecost, when the people gathered around outside the upper room, the Bible says we hear men speaking in our own languages. Now, I believe that happened, but I also heard another interpretation of it, and that is that sometimes when people speak in tongues, the people that are nearby hear a different sound than what's coming out of the mouth of the person who's speaking in a heavenly language. They may hear an earthly language. In other words, God, the phenomenon of what happened on the day of Pentecost could be not so much in the speaking, although it most likely was, but it could also be in the hearing. Yes. To give you an illustration, I heard of a man, popular Bible teacher. He said one time as teenagers, they had just been freshly baptized in the Holy Ghost. They received their prayer language, and they were out near a lake playing one day, and they heard this family over here to the side at the lake, and they were from Europe somewhere, and it sounded like they were from France. So this guy got the notion, you know, teens are fearless, right? And so he said, hey, let's go over there and witness to him and just speak in tongues to him and see what happens. And they went over there and they just started speaking in tongues. Well, the people understood it as their language. And they wound up witnessing to him, leading him to Jesus, got him saved right there on the spot by simply exercising their prayer language outwardly by faith, hoping that these people would hear French when they heard it interpreted in their ears. And that's the way it was received. Amen. So sometimes that phenomenon can come as well. I say all that to say this. I've been in a service before where the sermon was on trying to recruit nursery workers. And at the end of the message, a man came forward for salvation. Right? So it can happen, right? Yeah. In other words, you'll hear something different according to your need than what I might even be speaking on up here. Amen? So let's trust the Holy Ghost for that. Father, we thank you that you're the divine teacher. And as we hear the word today, there is power in it to activate in our life. There's power in the word of God to meet our every need, as personal as it may be. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us, you give us answers, you give us solutions. You turn lights on in our life here and there, wherever we need it today, as we hear the voice of God according to our need. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. This verse has been ringing in my ear all week, so it's time for me to speak it out. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Say that with me. Even our faith. And I want to make it a little more personalized by saying this. It's your faith. It's your faith. Not just our collectively. Now, many times when the apostles wrote these books that we've turned into the Bible, they became Bible, they would say things like, let us love one another, right? There was a lot of us. There was a lot of group plurality in what they said. But when you read something like that in the New Testament, even our faith, you can personalize it and say it like this. Even my faith. Amen. Let's say it that way. Even my faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? It's even my faith. Amen. It's your faith. And I want to propose to you today that faith is a honed skill. Your faith. I'm talking about your personal faith. What do you mean by that, Pastor? A honed skill. Every time you use it, every time there's an answer to prayer in your life, every time there's a mountain moved in your life, every time there's a disease that's healed in your life, a physical ailment that gets knocked out because you prayed and you exercised your faith, you are honing the skill of that weapon in your life, that weapon of faith. Amen? Yep. Amen. It's like a sword. You know, if you read about or watch or have any knowledge of or experience around hunters, soldiers, you'll find out real quick that they take their weapons and they personalize them, right? There's no way they take a manufacturer's rifle and leave it alone. What do? They put a third-party scope on there, right? They take the original sights off. That's coming off the minute they unbox it. And they put a third-party scope on there. Or they expand the magazine capability. That's not politically correct in among the Democrats, but they expand the magazine capacity for more bullets. They put a more ergonomic hand grip on there, right? To fit their hand, because ergonomics are important. They put a extra padding on the end of the stock and so that the recoil is just right. Right? What do? They're personalizing their weapon. And I want to encourage you today in response to 1 John 5:4. This word is talking to you and I, and it's saying you need to personalize faith. You need to hone the skill of using the weapon of faith on a regular basis so that when big things come up, amen, or you're in the fellowship of some other believer and they've got a situation that comes into your personal encounter, your faith is ready to go. Amen. You know exactly how to pray for that situation. Why? Because you have beat that giant time and time again. You've, as David did, you've killed the lion, you've killed the bear. Now you're ready for Goliath. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So we're talking about personalizing our faith. Now, what we're dealing with today is faith for healing, faith for physical healing in particular. These principles I'm sharing with you today will apply in any area, but I want to focus on the area of physical healing. The Word of God, when it comes to healing, gives us intelligence as to what the will of God is concerning physical healing.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again. The Word of God, this book, gives you and I the intelligence. This is like reading the brain cells of what God has to say or what God thinks concerning physical healing. Yes. This book. So we get our intelligence here. We don't get it necessarily at the church we grew up in. Because preachers don't always preach this book. But this book gives us the intelligence. There was a man named F.F. Bosworth that said it this way. He said, faith begins, so we're talking about honing our faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known.
Amen.
Faith begins where the will of God is known. And again, in this book, we find the will of God. Another word for will would be the desire of God, the intent of God. Amen. The passion, if you will, the passion of God. What is the thing that burns in God's heart as it pertains to healing the sick? Well, this book will reveal that to us. Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. One of the biggest hindrances to our faith when it comes to physical healing, and it comes from a religious upbringing. Some of you may have heard this many times growing up, not in this church, but you may have been in another church that taught this. And when people pray and they're praying for someone who's sick, they'll add on this little phrase at the end that it says, if it be thy will. Right? You familiar?
Yep.
You've heard it. You might have even said it. Listen, as it pertains to sickness and healing, we don't have to add that phrase. We don't have to question. We don't have to wonder if it's God's will to heal.
Amen.
The book tells us,
right.
The intelligence of God reveals to us his desire, his intent to heal in every case. Amen?
Right.
You know, we have just one mention of someone praying or mentioning these words as it pertains to healing in the Bible. And it's found, if you want to turn over there real quick, Mark chapter 1. Verse 40, we'll read this verse. It wasn't in our notes earlier, but we'll take a quick look at it. Mark 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, second gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Look at it with me there. Mark 1, 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, if it be thy will, right? Thou canst make me clean. That's King James. Pretty King James heavy. If you are willing, he said, you can make me clean. He had no doubt that Jesus could, did he? And in fact, this is a very low level of faith, honestly. A very low level of faith. If you ask most people on the streets, you go outside right now after church and ask 10 people on the streets, do you believe God could heal you? If Jesus was the Son of God, do you believe Jesus could heal you? I'll bet you 5 or more out of 10 would say, sure. I believe he could heal me. But that's not the question that most of us wrestle with. This leper said, I know you can, but will you? That's a whole nother level of faith, isn't it? Most of us agree God has the power to heal. But does he have the will to heal? Will he heal? Where does faith begin? Where the will of God is known. And Jesus forever shattered this question. He should have settled the matter. If you'll just read verse 41. And Jesus moves with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. Say it with me. I will. Be thou made clean. With Jesus's I will, he canceled for all time the man's if. I'll say it again. With his I will, Jesus canceled for all time the question of if.
Yes. Amen.
You should never pray that prayer. If it be thy will, heal so-and-so. If it be your will, Lord, heal me. It's always God's will. If you come face to face with Jesus, you will find him say the same words to you that he told this leper man. I will. I will. Let's look at another example. Matthew 4. Just flip back one book back. Matthew chapter 4. verse 23. Matthew 4:23. Many times throughout the Gospels, we see the ministry of Jesus. In fact, when you think of Jesus, what's the number one thing you think of what Jesus did while he was here on the earth? He healed people, right? What made him unusual? I mean, we got preachers all since the Old Testament. Jeremiah was a preacher. Haggai was a preacher. Moses was a preacher. We got all kinds of preaching throughout the Bible. What's unique about Jesus's ministry is consistently healing time and time again. He healed the people. Look at Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Again, that's not unusual compared to the Old Testament. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and what? Healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. That's north of Israel. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. Don't look at your neighbor when you read that, all right? And those that had the palsy, that's paralyzed people. And he did what? He told them, I'm sorry, it's not God's will for you today. God's trying to teach you a lesson with this sickness. Go home and learn the lesson. No, he healed them. Say it with me. He healed them. Now turn over to Luke chapter 6. Two books over. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. Says the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. And I want to tell you something. There's still virtue coming out of Jesus today. Amen. It's flowing. Aren't you glad? That virtue is still flowing today. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The virtue of Jesus is still flowing today, just like we read right here in Luke 6:19. Now look at the last part. The virtue was and power was coming out of him. And he healed them all. Say it with me. He healed them all. Once more. He healed them all. This was the ministry of Jesus when he walked the earth. He healed all. You'll never find once in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that Jesus told somebody, God's trying to teach you a lesson. Keep your sickness. Or it's not God's will to heal you. Not once. And Jesus Christ is the same. When? Yesterday, today, and forever. Beyond these examples that we read about in the Gospels, we know this basic truth, don't we? That Calvary was for all. If God ever intended through the cross to save anyone, then he intended through the cross to save everyone. Say it with me. If he intended to save anyone, then he intended to save everyone. Amen? And how much more healing? Amen. If God ever healed anyone, he intended to heal everyone. That is the reality of God's will. God doesn't play favorites. He knows that if you're suffering with sickness and I'm suffering, there's no difference. We're both hurting. We're both miserable. And we're no good to our families till we get feeling better, right? It's the same among all people. And if God is willing to heal anyone, then God is willing to heal everyone. Praise the Lord. You must be settled in that. You must be settled in that truth to have your faith built for healing. Say it with me. If God will heal anyone, then God will heal everyone. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't seen that. Well, you know, what we see in life does not always reflect the truth, because we believe that Jesus died for all, do we not? God's will is for all to be saved. Now, we have a verse for that in the Bible, right? That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. I believe that's Peter the apostle that said that one. Right? God is not willing. No, I'm sorry, James. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? That all men should come to repentance. If God's willing that all men should come to repentance, then God is willing for all men to be healed. Why? Because sickness is very closely tied to what? Sin. Sin. Sin is what brought sickness into the earth. Right? So if God is willing to save everyone from sin, then surely it naturally follows that God is willing to save everyone from sickness. Yes. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. If you haven't seen it yet, there's a YouTube video called The Forbidden Chapter. It's about 10 minutes long. It is very touching. And it's an interview that takes place in Israel where a young man goes with a microphone and he interviews about a half a dozen Jewish people all around the city. And he asked them, have you ever heard of this forbidden chapter that's never read in synagogue week after week by the rabbis. And guess what the chapter is?
Isaiah.
It's Isaiah 53. How many of you have seen that video? Well, my wife has, of course. Yeah. Well, y'all need to watch it. It's called The Forbidden Chapter. You can look it up after church. Not now. But Isaiah 53 talks so much about the sufferings of Jesus, not only for our salvation, for our forgiveness, but for what? Our healing. Our healing. Let's turn there. Isaiah 53. The forbidden chapter. Many rabbis never read this chapter because what will happen is at the end of the chapter, by the time someone reads this whole chapter and the descriptive phrases over and over again about Jesus, about how he suffered, he was rejected by men, he was pierced for our transgressions, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. It becomes so obvious that the Messiah had to be Jesus that it reveals him to the Jewish people. And that's why they're so, you know, threatened by it, if you will. But Isaiah 53:4, look at it together with me. Isaiah 53:4, I'm reading in the King James. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, that translation, the King James, kind of leaves it in the sense of emotional bearing, that Jesus bore our griefs and sorrows. That speaks of emotional, like sadness, right? And he did come to bear those things. But the more accurate translation, and it's found in the, I find it to be the most accurate that I've come across, in the NASB 2020 version, if you'll put that up. Yeah, you got it there. However, look at it here on the screen. It was our sicknesses that he himself bore and our pains that he carried. Yes, Jesus came to bear our sorrow, our grief, but it goes deeper than that. The literal words in the Hebrew there translate to sickness and pain. Say that with me. Sickness and pain. Jesus came to bear our sickness. Jesus came to bear our pain. And I want to say this. We don't need to bear it if he bore it. Amen. I'm telling you today, that's good news. You need to tell your body, I don't have to bear this because Jesus bore this.
Amen.
When pain and symptoms come your way, you talk to it. You say, Jesus bore it. Mm-hmm. Where do we learn that? Isaiah 53:4. Surely it was our sickness he himself bore and our pains that he carried. And now the King James gets it right with that word surely at the beginning. I love that. Surely. Amen. Without a doubt. Say without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
No need to doubt it. So remind your body about it.
Amen.
Right? He surely bore our pains. He carried our diseases, our sicknesses, so I don't have to bear it. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
You know, there's an Old Testament imagery where the priests would bring in on a regular basis, they would bring in this goat, and the sinner would come to the tabernacle and they would put their hands on the goat. And the priest would say some things over it, and they would release that goat into the wilderness. What was that? That's called the scapegoat. That's where we get the word scapegoat. They would release that goat into the wilderness because that goat bore the sins of the sinner. Are you with me? That goat literally carried that sinner's transgressions, all of their negative actions, attitudes, words. That goat carried that sin into the wilderness. He bore that sin. And that's what Jesus came to do for you and I. He came to bear our sin. And in the process, he also bare the penalty of sin, which was what? Sickness and death, right? Sickness and death. Where did sickness come from after all? Obviously, it came through sin, right?
Yes.
It took 930 years to kill him, but Adam finally died. God told him, in the day you eat this fruit, you will surely die. And no man from that time ever lived past 1,000 years. Although they got real close to it. Methuselah was 965, I believe. Adam lived to 930 years. That's a good long life. So that's a slow digression into whatever disease finally took Adam's life, you know, be it his kidneys failing, his whatever. Who knows? Bible doesn't tell us. But it was a slow digression into what? Death. Because sin brought death. Romans 5:12 tells us that. Romans 5:12. Look at it here on the screen. For the sake of time, we won't turn there, but look at it here on the board. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Say that with me. Death by sin. How did death come into the world? It came through sin. So if we deal with the sin issue, what are we dealing with?
Death.
Right. And what is sickness? I like what one man defined sickness as. This is Dr. John G. Lake. How many of you ever heard of Dr. John G. Lake? Amazing healing evangelist back in the early 1900s, about 100 years ago. And Dr. John G. Lake said it this way. You might want to write this down. Sickness is incipient death. Sickness is simply incipient death. What do I mean by incipient? I-N-C-I-P-I-E-N-T, I believe is how you spell incipient. Incipient means it's the infant stages of. So you catch a cold, you say, oh, it's no big deal. You better not take that attitude, because what will happen? The cold might digress into pneumonia, right? Why? And pneumonia could eventually take a person's life, because sickness is the beginning stages of what? Death. Adam didn't die overnight, but he slowly digressed and eventually passed. Sickness is incipient death. By the way, by conservative estimates, John G. Lake oversaw the healing of over 100,000 people over a period of 5 years in Spokane, Washington. 100,000 people. They were shutting hospitals down in that part of the country, in Washington State. Man, you talk about a healing revival. It became known as the divine center of the center of divine healing for the whole United States. Spokane, Washington, under the ministry of Dr. John G. Lake. He had what he called healing rooms, and people would come and they would be taught the word of God until their faith rose to the level that it was time to pray. And when they prayed, they got healed. Terry and I went to a Bible school in Dallas back in the early 80s, Christ for the Nations, which was founded by Gordon Lindsay. Gordon Lindsay, back in the 1920s, 1930s, somewhere around that time period that Dr. John G. Lake was ministering, Gordon Lindsay got a terrible case of ptomaine poisoning, food poisoning. And he was on his deathbed, and John G. Lake's wife was ministering to him, and she brought sermons to Gordon Lindsay while he's on the sickbed there in their home. And she would say, here, read this. And he could only get through about one sermon at a time. You know, his strength was so weak, he was failing. His health was failing so rapidly. But he would read one sermon after another that John G. Lake had written out. And by the time he got done reading these sermons, his faith rose and rose and rose to the point that at some point he stepped out of bed and he said, the minute my feet hit the floor, I knew I was healed. And boom, the change came about. And of course, if you know Gordon Lindsay's life, I mean, he went on to found a great Bible school, the Voice of Healing magazine, and just lots of ministry to sick people because of John G. Lake's ministry. Amazing, amazing things. Well, it's time for us to see that again, don't you think?
Yes.
Have you noticed hospitals are popping up like McDonald's and Burger King on almost every street corner? Why is that? Because our world is sick.
Right.
We got to get them healed, but we got to start with us. Because what did I say in the beginning? You got to learn to personalize your faith. You got to get your weapon honed. You got to get your skills up. Amen. Every time you get a headache, a this ache, a that ache, speak to that thing. Command that pain out of your body. Let's build our faith muscles so that when the big stuff comes, we're ready. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's shut down some hospitals. I'd love to see it in my lifetime. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John G. Lake went on to say this. If you're writing, you'll have to write quick because this is about a paragraph worth, but I want to read it to you. He said, with this weight of testimony before us, talking about 100,000 people or more that were healed under his ministry, it seems childish to continue debating the ability or willingness of God to heal. Let us rather, with open minds and heart, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and healer and trust him with our bodies as much as we trust him with our souls. Amen. That's a man that can speak with confidence. When he's healed person after person, he's seen the healing power of God work through him. He said, we no longer bring up this matter of if it's the Lord's will to heal. He was persuaded it's always God's will to heal. And he believed that for every person he ever prayed for. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 103 in your Bibles, please, real quick. Psalm 103. David wrote this. By the way, David didn't write all the Psalms. You know that?
Yes.
Maybe you didn't know that. But Moses wrote some of them. The sons of Asaph, the sons of Korah wrote some, Asaph wrote some. The Psalms is divided up, it's like a songbook in the Bible, and it's written by numerous authors. But this particular psalm, if you look at the top of it, most of your Bibles will say what? A psalm of David. So we know that David wrote this particular chapter. Look at it with me there. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do what? Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? Look at verse 3. Read it slowly. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Emphasis on the word all, for sure. You should circle it, highlight it, underline it, point arrows at it, put a neon sign around it if you have to remind you. God is intending to heal all disease as much as he's willing to forgive all iniquities. Amen.
Amen.
God is just as much concerned about healing our bodies as he is forgiving our sins. And in fact, the two are however you say it, they're Yeah, inseparable. They're linked. Inseparable. Forgiveness is indeed the key to our healing. Look at Colossians 1:14 in your Bible. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. It's a small verse, but it's so powerful. Before we read that verse, let me say this about Psalm 103. I don't want to remove from it too quickly. Again, God is going to heal all our diseases. He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. And you should also underline that word "my," because when it comes to healing, you always have to personalize it. He forgives my sins. What are your sins? I don't want to know them. That's a rhetorical question. I'm not going to ask your wife. I'm not going to ask your husband. God forgives all my sins just as much as He's willing to heal all my diseases. Amen? And this is one of the things that's dangerous when we're dealing with sickness is sometimes the enemy will try to convince you, that's your bad knee. That's your bad back. You need to eliminate that from your vocabulary. Never talk like that. Well, you know, I got a bum knee. That's my old bum knee acting up. Every time the rain comes around, my bum knee acts up. Or I got a bad back. My bad back. When you say "my" and then describe the ailment, you're taking ownership of it. Careful. Now, the psalmist did say he heals all my diseases. That means you should personalize, apply your faith to what's ailing your body. But don't take ownership of it. You see the difference? I could preach on that a whole message. All right. But let's go to Colossians 1:14. Look at Colossians 1:14. I want you to be assured today that you are qualified for healing. And Colossians 1:14 seals the deal right here. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Say this with me. Because I'm forgiven, I qualify for healing.
I qualify for healing.
One more time. Because I'm forgiven,
I qualify for healing.
Hallelujah. You don't have to ask. You know, if you may have an ailment that's been lingering, you've spoken to it, you've prayed over it, you've had hands laid on you for it, and nothing's changed. Listen, let Colossians 1:14 settle the matter in your faith. That because you are forgiven, you are qualified for healing. Amen? Because we have redemption through His blood. What does it say? Even the forgiveness of sins. Listen, if your sins are forgiven, you got nothing hanging over you that qualifies you for that sickness to stay on you. If you're forgiven, you should be healed. Amen? And we know from the Word, what we just read in Colossians 1:14, we're what? Forgiven. What does that mean? God's not holding our sins against us. And if there's no condemnation, if there's no accounting that has to come from us for our sins, then guess what? The devil cannot put sickness on us because sickness is the penalty for sin. I said sickness is the penalty for sin. Adam died because Adam sinned, right? We read that in Romans 5:12. Sin, death entered through sin. Well, where there's no sin, there can be no death.
That's right.
Are you with me? The same man I mentioned, John G. Lake, spent some time over in South Africa. I think it was about 5 years of his healing ministry. He was in South Africa, and they had an outbreak of the bubonic plague in South Africa. It was terrible. It was killing multitudes of people. And I guess in the final stages of people dying from this plague, they would be like a foam that would come up in their mouth. And scientists that came over, doctors that came over and saw John G. Lake working among the dead and the living dead, but you know, those that were just hanging by a thread. They said, how do you do it? How do you work around all these sick people and you don't get the disease? And he said, well, gentlemen, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is at work in my body. And they said, we don't understand that. He said, well, I'll tell you what, as an experiment, because, you know, they call him Dr. John G. Lake because he was a physician, I believe. Because of his ministry. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he deserved the name for sure. So Dr. John G. Lake said, take some of the foam on one of the corpses, take some of the foam, scrape it off, put it in my hand, and put my hand under a microscope, and you'll see what I mean. And first they took the foam and put it on like just a blank slide, and they put it under the microscope, and they could see the bacteria, all the, you know, the death-giving virus or whatever that was alive in that foam. And then they put that on his hand, and they put his hand under the microscope, and they saw those germs literally die underneath their eye. They saw them die as it rested there on his flesh because he had such faith in the Spirit of life active in him. What is that? That's faith in, I'm forgiven, therefore sickness cannot cling to me. Amen?
Yes.
Death cannot cling to me because why? I'm forgiven. Where there is no sin, there's no death. right? And sickness is incipient death. It's the beginning stages of death. So sickness cannot cling where there's no sin. Amen? Yep. Praise the Lord. It's true. If you'll believe it today, you'll walk in that same life. God's no favor. He's not favoring John G. Lake over you. It's the forgiveness of sins that Peter preached in Acts chapter 10 that saved Cornelius' house. You remember the story? He came there. Peter came. They knocked on the door. They said, Apostle Peter's here. And Cornelius, who is the first Gentile that we have recorded there, saved in the book of Acts. Cornelius, who was a Roman, an Italian, and he had all his family gathered, his friends, his servants, fellow soldiers, friends of his. They were gathered in a big room, and they were ready to hear the Apostle Peter preach. And as Peter began to expound on the gospel, he got to this one part in Acts chapter 10, I think it was around verse 38. And he said this, and it gets to a point in his message where it says, and through him, when he said the forgiveness of sins comes through Jesus, immediately the people in the room, all of a sudden, they got saved. How do we know they got saved? Because the Holy Ghost fell on them. They began to speak in other tongues, and Peter's jaw dropped. He said, what? Gentiles got saved too? Gentiles can get the Holy Ghost too? How did they get the Holy Ghost so suddenly? How did they come into this awareness of their salvation? It was when Peter preached the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Amen? Through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is preached. By the way, that Isaiah 53 I mentioned earlier too, in Acts chapter 8, what was that guy's name? The eunuch, right? From Ethiopia. The Ethiopian eunuch who got saved. He was in his chariot and he was reading in Isaiah. What chapter was he reading? The forbidden chapter. Isaiah 53. He's reading Isaiah 53 and the revelation of Jesus is coming to him, but he needs someone to explain it to him. And Peter comes up alongside of him, explains who Isaiah was talking about. And the eunuch says, well, praise God, I'm ready to get saved. Where can I get baptized? Right. Because he heard of the forgiveness through Jesus expounded in Isaiah 53. Amen. One more example in the book of Acts. All these come from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Paul is in Pisidian Antioch, which is a town in Turkey, where we just were a couple months ago. And he's preaching the gospel in the synagogue. And he says this, through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is preached to you. I'm going to leave you with that as my closing today. Through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is declared to you. Amen. If you'll receive it today, your sins have been forgiven. Why? Because God poured out the punishment, the condemnation, the judgment, everything that should fall upon us when we do wrong, when we think wrong, when we act wrong, when we say wrong. God poured it out upon Jesus at the cross. Why? So that we could be forgiven. And if we are forgiven, then guess what? We can be healed. Amen. If sins have been atoned for, we can walk in life. This is why at this church we teach and we believe you don't have to die sick. You can just not wake up one morning. That's the best way to go, isn't it? Yep. Yes. Just sleep on into glory.
That's right.
No disease, no sickness, no explanation. The coroner gets there and says, well, we can't explain it. There's no reason why this person should have passed. That's the way we want to pass.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Because where there's no sin, there should be no sickness, no death. Amen. Now, we know we all have to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. We are going to, even as believers, we will physically die. But Jesus said, once you believed on me, I'm the resurrection. You'll never really die. We call it going to sleep. Amen. That's what they called it in the New Testament. They said when people were dead, like when Jesus went to raise a child from the dead, that he would say, oh, don't cry. They're just sleeping. Right. Because he had just arrived on the scene. The resurrection had just stepped into the room. And in a sense, that physical death can't stay in the room. Amen? Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. I'm here to declare today to you, in the hearing of your faith, you are forgiven.
Amen.
And if you are forgiven, then in Jesus' name be healed.
Amen.
I say, if you are forgiven, in Jesus' name be healed.
Amen.
If the devil can't hold your sin against you because of the blood of Jesus, then he cannot hold sickness on your body. Amen? If you've got sickness in your body today and you want prayer after the service, we'll stick around a bit and pray for you. If you didn't come up earlier, that's fine. We'll give you two chances. We're the church of two chances here. Amen. But if there's sickness in your body, listen, you talk to that sickness. You remind it that through him, I have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Through him, we have redemption, even through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Sickness cannot stay in your life. Sickness cannot stay in your family. Amen. You know, a lot of diseases and things are genetical, right? They come down through our blood. They come down through our family line. Listen, when you got born again, you got born into a new family. And you have to believe, I believe this, whatever was genetical with my parents, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, all the stuff that tried to come into my physical body, once I get born again, I'm a new creature. I don't qualify for any of that genetic stuff. I no longer qualify for Anderson or Davis genetics. I qualify for heaven's genetics. Amen? Jesus' genetics. The law, the spirit of life. And that's at work in me. It's at work in you today, in Jesus' name. Amen? If there's anyone here today, just with heads bowed for just a moment, you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I need to get right today. I'm not born again, or I need to come back to the Father's house. You caught me at that moment. If that's you today, and you say, I want to give my life back to Jesus. I want to surrender totally to Him. I want to surrender my life, my all to Jesus. And this is my moment. I want to give my all to Him. If that's you, raise your hand real high. We're going to pray a prayer in a moment and give you that opportunity to make Jesus the Lord and the master of your life once more. Amen. Sometimes we fall away. Sometimes we, you know, Peter, one day he's walking with Jesus. He's having the Last Supper with Jesus. The next day he's willing to deny Jesus three times. So sometimes we have that kind of encounter. Jesus forgives us. Amen. Let's pray this prayer. Dear God, we thank you for sending Jesus to atone for our sins, to make payment for all of our wrong. And he did that with his very life. He did that with his precious blood so that we could be free, so that I could be forgiven. Thank you, Father. I receive your forgiveness through Jesus. I receive redemption, which means the turning of all the evil in my life, even the penalty of sin. I thank you for healing me. Thank you for restoring me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Listen, we can't hear too much on the subject of healing. Why? Because I know I was in a meeting recently and they started calling out different ailments. And I look over at Terry. I said, man, it's amazing, isn't it? When you're in church, people don't come forward a lot of times for a general call for healing. But you say, anyone with a such and such in their body, and three or four people come. Anyone with a such and such in their body, five or six people come. You look around, and you realize, man, half the house of God is sick, right? We got something we're dealing with. Now, we don't like to call ourselves sick, and we put on our Sunday best when we come to church, but the reality is most of us are struggling with something. So, listen, take this word I've given you today. Chew on it. Go back and listen to it. We post our messages by about Tuesday afternoon each week. It's up on our website, befellowship.org. Go back and listen to it again, and let your faith arise. Feed on faith, and let faith arise in the fact that you are forgiven, and if you're forgiven, you qualify to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Come ready with change of clothes if you need to for the picnic. 1:30, we start eating. Praise the Lord. And bring your lawn chairs.